You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am joined by Harrison Fagan. We both came to the conclusion before the show, and look, we're a little nervous that we might be jinxing this, but for the first time in our professional lives, we are covering a decent to okay to maybe even good basketball team. It's definitely heading in that direction. Harrison, how does that make you feel?
I don't feel anything anymore, Anthony. But, you know, I guess it is like kind of nice to cover a team that isn't just losing the same way every single night.
Yeah.
That gets pretty monotonous, I would say. And, you know, like this team, you know, every single night, like you're going to get to watch like semi-entertaining basketball. Like they aren't the best offensive team yet, but they get out on the break and it's kind of fun. And they play good defense, which is what I think every fan wants to see from their team. And, you know, they keep getting better. And like we're finally seeing the progression and the patience with young players start to pay off.
I am about to ask a question. It's going to sound hyperbolic, but it really isn't the more we think about it. But I'm about to ask whether this is the best kind of feeling that Laker fans have had in about 5 years, right? And that's basically going to carry us through the show. We are going to, we'll break it up into several talking points and such, but I really truly feel like it is. And before we get to that, make sure you guys are following the show on Megaphone/Panoply, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Spotify, Alexa, Lakers Nation, where Harrison writes, Lakers Outsiders, where I write. Make sure you're following Harrison at HM Fagan on Twitter. I am at Anthony Irwin LA on Twitter. Harrison, do you agree? Because I actually do feel this way. This has to be the best Laker fans have felt in 5 years.
Yeah, I think it's got to be. I mean, hey, we are not contractually obligated to even record this podcast tonight. Like, we've recorded our five for the week.
We're set.
And we're doing this because this is actually, like, this is a fun team to talk about right now. This is, they've made probably their biggest move. They've made probably, like, the biggest move other than the Russell trade that they've made in quite a few years in terms of the way that they cleared cap today and the way that they shipped out two guys who were kind of considered a part of this young core, like, 2 years ago. And they've really committed to a direction change, and it feels like that's a positive direction, especially when you see them. And yes, the Thunder tonight were missing Russell Westbrook and they were missing Carmelo Anthony, but they're still, you know, maybe a better team than the Lakers. Paul George is certainly better than any player on the Lakers, but the Lakers just took it to them tonight and just like busted their ass. And, you know, this is like, I said this to you before the show a little bit, that this almost feels like it's starting to become like a system type thing, because the Lakers were missing Lonzo. They were, Clarkson and Nance are gone. They don't have their replacements back yet. And while yes, like they still have guys like Randall in uniform, KCP, Brandon Ingram, all of those guys, this is starting to feel a little bit more system oriented and a little bit more sustainable, because it feels like these guys are building habits where they can at least stay competitive with teams, even without main players like Lonzo. And I don't want to overreact here, but it feels a little bit Spursian.
Yeah, I would agree. I was, the other thing too, because you were talking about the difference in the two teams that played tonight, right? That the Oklahoma City Thunder didn't have Russell Westbrook and they didn't have Carmelo Anthony. And as a team that relies as heavily as they do on their superstars, that's kind of the point, isn't it? That the Lakers core is so deep at this point that they can trade away two rotational pieces of it, not have the replacements back yet, not have arguably the most impactful piece of that young core so far, other than I would probably say it's Ingram. But still, you have one of the two or three most impactful pieces of that young core, and it isn't playing. And the Lakers, like you said,
they okay, Lonzo Ball's a he, not an it.
What's that?
You called Lonzo Ball it.
Oh, well, I meant like the piece, but okay. But to quote the forever wise James Worthy, they beat that Thunder ass. It was as soon as they hit, you know, they had one run where they opened it up to double digits, and then it was 15, and then it was just cruise control. They jumped it up to 20, and they wind
up
winning.
They don't blow leads anymore. It used to be like the last 3 years we've been covering this freaking team. Every single time they went up, we'd have our Twitter timelines. Like, it was a roller coaster, because you'd have all the fans were like, yes, this is amazing. They're finally doing it. Like, D'Angelo Russell's going off, and then all of a sudden their defense completely falls off a cliff, and another team starts hitting shots, and they come all the way back. And now, because the Lakers are winning with defense, it's a little bit more like they don't automatically blow these leads anymore, and it feels like a more sustainable brand of success.
We are talking about this feeling that Laker fans have, this happiness that has been pretty much, again, I truly believe this is, and I can at least speak for myself, this is the most positive I have felt about this organization in about 5 years. And we are talking about it from the perspective of just tonight, but if you extend, if you look on the macro level, it starts to make even more sense. And we are going to talk about that here in a second.
So, Anthony, are you ready to stop being such a hater now?
You can't surprise me with that stuff, man. Every time I start coughing, I hack up a lung. Or laughing, I hack up a lung.
There are probably people that listen to this show and apparently, like, hate listen, but probably would like to hear you choke. So...
choke on those words, Anthony.
You're welcome, America.
All right. I will say this. Today, great, great, great move. Knocked the trade deadline out of the park.
Okay. Apologize personally to Magic Johnson.
I will apologize for doubting their ability to handle this trade deadline alone. But there's still a ton. Like, they opened up all this space.
Nope, they did it. Championship.
They do still have to fill said space, right? But I will say this, though. Like, as I teased in the prior segment, this feels more sustainable, not just in the way that you were talking about on-court stuff and the system that Luke has put in place both offensively and defensively. And obviously, the offense needs to get better, but the defense has been a constant. Like, again, we are, what, past halfway through the season, and the Lakers have a top 10 defense still, right?
It's just outside the top 10.
But if I would have told you that they would have a defense that would be near the top 10, you would have questioned
my
sanity.
Anthony, please stop doing bath salts in my house.
So if from the standpoint that you're talking about, I completely agree that it feels like a more sustainable success that the Lakers are currently enjoying right now, right? As they have the best record since January 7th. They have won, what, 12 out of their last 14? Two of those
Golden
games,
State Warriors who?
Yeah, they have two of those wins have come against Paul George's Thunder. That doesn't mean nothing, man. Like, the Laker fans were out there cheering for Paul George, and multiple people that were there at the game or that were there watching noticed Paul George kind of sort of crack a little grin when he heard that, right?
Yep, and he after the game dapped up Brandon Ingram, and then after the game went and talked to Brian Shaw
about fishing, obviously nothing else.
Yeah, surely just about fishing. NBA listening to this.
So this stuff doesn't mean nothing. That all is beside the point. It is aside the point that I'm about to make here, in that, look, when I was trashing Magic Johnson, when I was trashing Rob Pelinka, and those moments where I did question Jeannie Buss's ownership abilities, it sucked, man. Like, you and I both know this, that it's not fun to criticize. I would much rather be in this spot right now where I can point to my childhood hero, Magic Freakin' Johnson, and say, this guy might get it, right? Like, a huge portion of the happiness that came from the deal that they made today was, holy crap, this guy might actually get it. This thing might actually work out, right? I don't have that same connection, obviously, to Rob Pelinka, but if...
Well, no, but for me, Rob Pelinka was my childhood hero. And so getting to watch him...
He was literally the biggest part of your aspirations as a child.
Yeah, getting to watch him at... Where'd he play? Michigan?
Yeah.
Yeah, getting to watch him at Michigan was, you know, like a highlight of my life. I was like, hey, that guy doesn't play for the basketball team, but he gets really good grades. Maybe that could be me. And, you know, I got half of it right. I didn't play for the basketball team.
Would you agree, though, that a portion of – and look, I know you are more Spockian than I am, but a portion of what makes this – feeling a little more real is the connection that the city of LA, the Los Angeles Lakers fan base, has to this guy Magic Johnson.
Like, no, it's always going to feel more special if Magic has success than it would if like Jim Buss had success, because Jim Buss never opened himself up to the public. He was never a right. guy that, you know, that fans were in love with. He had a very polarizing relationship with the fans. Whereas Magic Johnson, like, if you were to run approval ratings in Los Angeles, Magic Johnson, before he took the Lakers job, was probably at like an 100% or close to it. And now, I mean, he's probably at like a 90 now, but still, that's a lot higher than the last front office regime.
Yep.
And if the Lakers are winning again, that's going to go right back up to 100, because Magic's shtick of smiling and flexing and talking about greatness and all that stuff, that comes off a lot better if the team that he is running is actually great.
Yeah.
And when the Lakers are good again, like, if Magic helps get them there, then he's going to be like the NBA's ultimate troll god. He's going to be giving press conferences on a weekly basis talking about how amazing it is and how much it's like showtime.
Just for... Because, look, I'm older than you, and I think I was a fan younger in my life than you were, right? I think I have that right.
Yeah.
And one of the things, like, growing up, it was my dad would sit me down and show me old VHS tapes of Magic Johnson's baby hook, right? The baby sky hook, or James Worthy filling the wing. Back then, there was no YouTube. And so if you wanted to watch highlights, you had to go down to the local video store, rent out a VHS tape, rewind that son of a bee, because they always forgot to do that, and then sit in front of the TV and watch these mini documentaries about these teams that you watched, right? And so I kind of sort of grew up with Magic and with James and with Kareem and with Coop and Rambis, and I loved those Showtime teams. And when it came out, I remember one of the first times that I ever saw my dad tear up was when it came out that Magic had HIV, and at that time it was seen as a death sentence. And if you were to fast forward from that moment right there to now, what is it, almost 30 years later, right? And you would tell people back then, you could put a hand on everybody's shoulder back then and say, guys, it's going to be okay. Not only is Magic going to be okay and thriving, both health-wise and financially and in every single way that you would hope to, but he would also be playing a potentially major, huge, maybe the key role in getting the Lakers back to where we know that they belong after the worst stretch in franchise history. Man, that gives me chills. Man, that's a cool freaking feeling.
For people of a certain generation that probably don't listen to this podcast because I think that we're like, you know, know-it-all whippersnappers. I don't know. But
millennials.
You know, this has to be kind of incredible. And we'll see. Like, I don't want to overreact. Like, we'll see. They had a good trade deadline. They had a good win tonight. They seem to be on the right path. They still have to continue to follow that path.
Yeah, no, I would agree. They have a ton of work to do in the offseason, but for right
now... Wow, you hater. You just can't let them celebrate their achievement. You have to talk about what they haven't done yet. So this is why people don't like you, Anthony.
Well, what I was going to say... that's not just why people don't like me, but what I was going
to
say...
No, it's because you compare Magic to a certain political leader.
Fair. What I was going to say is that, yes, they have a ton of work to do. But I'm going to enjoy the ever-living shit out of this moment. This is
Come on, man.
You can bleep it. I don't care. Man, this is...
Now like, I have to go back and bleep it.
Oh, well, then don't. People will enjoy it. But what I'm saying is that this is the reason I wanted to record tonight was that because for the vast majority of shows that people have tuned into, it has been it's honest criticism. It's not like we went out of our way.
Anthony Crapp's on the Lakers, volume 474.
Actually, we're on show number 363, sir. But the vast majority of the times of people and God bless all of you for sticking with us. You guys are the truest fans out there. But the vast majority of the shows that people have tuned in for have been us, in fairness, rightfully pointing out issues with the organization, with the front office, hiring tendencies, whatever it might be. Tonight, we finally just get to enjoy the Lakers beating the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Oh.
they put a smile on Paul George's face. They pull off probably the best trade of the afternoon, right? And maybe of the trade season as a whole, depending on how you feel about that Blake Griffin trade.
Yeah, I was going to say that's the only other one where people might think that that's better.
And we'll see. I think there's legitimate issues and potential issues with that. I wouldn't want to pay Blake Griffin nearly $40 million when he's almost 34, but that's just me. But the Lakers today, they accomplished their goal, and on top of that, they get a cherry on top of it. That is this first-round draft pick that I cannot exaggerate this point. It is absolutely crucial that they got that pick. It's great that they got it. It's kind of a bonus, but now that they have it, it's one of those things where those first round picks aren't being used very often. And if the Lakers do wind up signing a Paul George and or a LeBron, and maybe are able to acquire a third kind of alpha star, and you use that first round draft pick and you get a rotational player along the lines of a Jordan Bell or a Patrick McCaw or a Jason Tatum or whichever young player you want to point to, OG Anunoby up there in Toronto. If you want to take a good team and make it a great team in today's market, you have to have one of those pieces outperforming their rookie contracts. And now that the Lakers have...
Lakers have shown they can get those guys.
Yeah, and now that they have the opportunity to get that, it's just an incredible move. And this is just... It's a really cool feeling where Laker fans currently are. I'm thoroughly enjoying it. We are going to take a quick break, but one of the things that we didn't do earlier today was wish Jordan Clarkson and wish Larry Nance Jr. well as they head out to Cleveland. So that's what we're going to do here in a second. Harrison, I'm going to let you take this because you had what I thought was a really touching kind of tribute on Twitter.
So Jordan Clarkson has been with the Lakers. I mean, it wasn't a tribute. I just sent out a tweet. But, like, Jordan Clarkson has been with the Lakers for basically the entire time that I've been covering him. I think I've covered him more than I've covered any other Laker, probably. Like, if I'm talking just, like, strict amount of stories written about – and you know, like, just like time spent around, like, he's a guy that I've went out and covered his basketball camp. He's a guy that I've spoken with at Summer League. He's a guy that, you know, I went to Universal Studios with him for a piece. And you know, like, I wouldn't say, like, we weren't friends or anything. I don't even know if he knew my name, but, like, he knew me. And, like, we, like, you know, he was always a good dude. He was always willing to take, like, an extra question if I had something for a specific angle that I was working on. And I always just kind of appreciated him being a good dude. And he was always very honest with the media, too. You could sense there were times where, like, he was guarded, but he was never a guy that was going to BS you. And I always appreciated that about him. And, you know, like, it was really cool to see his Instagram post for LA today. It was very heartfelt. and like just the way that he was talking about the city and the fans. And it was just cool to see like that athletes still sometimes build these genuine connections with the city that they're in. And I think Clarkson, in, you know, more ways than one, given his DM sliding predilection, established quite a few connections in Los Angeles. And I know that for sure around the organization, he will be missed. Like, he was a very well-liked guy. And none of this is to, like, I don't want people to take this as a slight to Larry Nance Jr. that, like, I'm glowing about Clarkson. Larry was a good dude, too. You know, it was just he gets Larry Nance Jr. for his entire time with the Lakers got praised for being a, you know, quote-unquote good dude and all of that stuff. And he was. But I think Clarkson deserves a little bit of that, too.
I would also add to that a little context about the show, and this isn't to make it about us, but, man, the first iterations, the very first iterations of what eventually became the show were you and I yelling at each other and yelling at that previous coach, and I came really close to saying his name there. But a lot of it started on the frustration that he was playing Ronnie Price over Clarkson when Clarkson was far and away the better player, right? And Clarkson came in as this 46th pick that the Lakers purchased from Washington. His rookie season coincided with Julius Randle's, right? Or was it the
year? Yes, they were the part of the same draft class. They were the two longest tenured Lakers. So now that is just Julius.
So, you could make a very strong case that Jordan Clarkson's rookie season was maybe the worst or one of the worst in the history of the Lakers franchise. And yet the thing that kind of helped us get through that season to a large extent was this dude who came out of nowhere, right? And eventually earned himself the contract that, you know, kind of sort of played a pretty huge role in sending him off to Cleveland. But he earned that contract.
Like that's he was the 46th overall pick, and you can take your you can pick nits with did he always work on the right things? I think towards the end of his time here, he did. He clearly became a better defender this year and bought more in on that end. But he was a guy that every single summer he went into the offseason and he worked his ass off, and he was the 46th overall pick. Like, this type of career is not the expectation for a guy taken in that range. He's already a huge success story, no matter what he does for the rest of his career.
100 million billion bajillion percent. And I wanted to also spend some time on Larry Nance Jr., and I won't be able to.
I did real quick before we move on to him. Did think that you mentioned the Lakers former coach, Jordan Clarkson's first NBA head coach, and he apparently had an Instagram. I didn't see the actual Instagram. Somebody just sent me a screen grab of one of his comment responses, and apparently He I guess he thanked Jordan Clarkson or said good job or wish you the best in Cleveland. And somebody with a user ice in my dot veins commented, "Why you ain't post this for D'Lo when he got traded, you bald bitch?" And Byron Scott responded as a comment, "Maybe because I didn't want to."
Ooh.
Oh, man.
I'm keeping it positive. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to take the bait. Byron.
That made me laugh. Shout out to actually, I don't know if he wants me to say his name. Shout out to my friend that sent that to me.
That rookie class wasn't very good, if I remember correctly. And I think Jordan Clarkson could have had a legitimate run at Rookie of the Year, except it took him half the season to finally start starting over Ronnie freaking Price.
Ended up making all first rookie first team as the 46th overall pick.
Yeah, it was an incredible. It's his career arc so far has been incredible, and there's a chance that 46th overall pick could be a rotation player in in a final series. It's insane.
Yeah, it's crazy.
The other guy who might also play a role in that same finals is Larry Nance Jr. He's going home. And according to, I think it was Joe Varden out there in Cleveland, Larry Nance Jr. was almost in tears with how happy he was at the opportunity to go and play in his hometown for the city that his dad played for. That's got to be pretty freaking cool.
Him and LeBron, just two kids from Akron.
Yeah. Similar impacts probably on that franchise too, I would imagine.
Yep, names both start with an L, you know? A lot of similarities. I think Cleveland may have just locked up LeBron. I think they're going to form an inseparable bond and never want to leave each other. In all seriousness, I think I said this on our earlier show today, but I think him and LeBron are going to play really well together.
Yeah, their pick and rolls are going to be fun.
Yeah.
When Nance has a little bit more room to just go straight down the lane.
And Kevin Love's outlet pass, like, I don't know how much Love and Nance will play together, but Kevin Love's outlet passing, LeBron's transition passing, like, Larry Nance Jr. is going to detonate on some guys as a dunker.
It's going to, in theory, it could be pretty fun, and that's all that we can really wish for him. Because, like you said, look, I am obviously lower on Larry Nance Jr. than others, but I will say this. He did everything that the Lakers asked of him, right? There was never a moment where it seemed like he would sulk if he wasn't particularly thrilled with a role, if he wasn't particularly thrilled with what they were asking him to work on. It didn't really matter. He just worked.
And he was also an incredible teammate.
Yep.
And like, this is a guy who would with the rookie classes as like a sophomore set up paintball, like team bonding outings and mm-hmm. things like that. Like, this is a guy who clearly wants to be a good teammate, and he was just another good dude. And, you know, the Lakers made the right move, but, you know, Larry Nance Jr. should be appreciated for what he brought during his time. And he was, again, another example. Both these guys are an example of why it's so crucial that the Lakers got a late first back in this deal.
Well, remember when Nance was taken, people kind of freaked out because he wasn't on very many people's radars. It was...
Yep. Panic on draft night when Nance got taken.
Right, and then I remember things kind of turned out okay because the Lakers wound up taking Anthony Brown, whom a lot of people wanted to be taken in Nance's spot anyway. But it just so turns out that I think Nance is going to have a nice long career in the NBA. And it's because of his work ethic, it's because of his character, and both of those things for both of these guys played a huge factor in their development both on and off the court, and that development enabled the Lakers to be able to be in the position that they are in right now, right? So if you are thrilled as I am, with what looks to be the direction of this organization that we all love, then you have to thank Jordan Clarkson and Larry Nance Jr. because without their development, this trade doesn't happen as it's currently constituted.
I agree.
All right, that'll do it for this episode of the...
Well, actually, there was... I'm sorry to cut you off again, but there was one more thing that I wanted us to just like take a moment to appreciate was the saltiness, once again, of I know your favorite Oklahoma City Thunder beat reporter, Royce Young, who I think... Didn't he block you on Twitter?
I know he sent me a couple angry DMs.
Oh, really? Okay. I was not aware of that. But I did laugh earlier today at his tweet. I like all the Laker fans trashing Clarkson and Nance right now, as if a week ago they weren't hyping them as young players Paul George would maybe want to come join. I don't know what Laker fans Royce Young is following, if any, but legitimately, did you ever see anyone say that Clarkson and Nance were the guys that Paul George wanted to come join?
Well, so I don't understand the point that he's trying to make. Like, just flat out. So I have the tweet in front of me because I screen grabbed it and I said I wanted it injected into my veins.
Yeah.
But he goes,
D'Angelo Russell, your hero. Other childhood hero, other than Magic.
I'll now have salt water in my veins. Or salt ice water, which is almost impossible. But I like all the Laker fans trashing Clarkson and Nance right now, as if a week ago they weren't hyping them as young players Paul George maybe would want to come join. All right, so first off, who was trashing Clarkson and Nance today?
Yes, I didn't see anyone trash either of those guys. And the other thing is, like, yes, there were Laker fans were saying Paul George would maybe want to come join their young core. Clarkson was widely seen as a guy that they would have to jettison to be able to do that. And Nance was not seen as part of that equipment. Like, it's Lonzo, Ingram, maybe Josh Hart, and why am I blanking on the other one?
Lonzo, Ingram, Hart, and Kuzma.
Yeah, Kuzma. There we go.
Yeesh.
It's late, man. We've recorded a lot today.
Yeah, man, I've talked way too much today.
Yeah, so those are the guys that people are hyping as the young core of the pod. Like, this is a ridiculous straw man, and I guess he wanted to take a shot at Laker fans for some reason, but this thing got ratioed to all hell. I don't know if you saw it.
Oh, it got ratioed? I just screen grabbed it. I mean, I didn't really click on the...
Well, I mean, it got 424 retweets and 288 replies, so...
It's just that he has a deep connection to Oklahoma City. He basically wrote propaganda when Kevin Durant left. One of the things that he wrote was that Kevin Durant was somehow weak-willed or something, or easily manipulated.
Well, I think he reported that some people in the Thunder thought that.
And pointed to Durant's dropped engagement or something like that, right?
Like this dude, I remember that now. That's regrettable.
This dude has emotional problems that stem from covering a team that he cares too much about and isn't able to disconnect himself from
let's
that.
Not go too far.
Well, the point here being, you don't make a straw man argument like that if you don't kind of sort of know that the dude who is pretty vital in keeping this Thunder organization relevant beyond, hey, look at our point guard go for triple doubles night in, night out, is openly flirting with Los Angeles at this point, right?
Yeah, that's fair.
When I saw that, it was just Royce being Royce. You go do your thing. I mean, people out there in Oklahoma City enjoy that kind of thing, which, you know.
Yeah, I do. I want to end this on a little bit of a slightly lighter note, and I forgot about this question that we got earlier. Mm-hmm. And this is from Evan Stastny. I believe I pronounced your last name right. A frequent questioner, listener of the show, I assume. And he wanted me to ask you, do you think Majinka's Operation L.A. Bron, the placing of two double agents on the Cavs, will be effective?
I mean, it worked for Boston.
Yeah, hey, that's what I'm saying. Well, now the Lakers have Isaiah Thomas, and so maybe, all these teams are just sending players to each other to tear them apart.
Well, the thing is, Boston sent Isaiah Thomas and got Kyrie Irving. Cleveland sent Isaiah Thomas and... That was the second move away from Boston and didn't get anything near as valuable as Kyrie Irving, right?
That's true.
And if Isaiah Thomas wants to play double agent for Boston all the way out here in L.A., then he can be jettisoned to...
Into the sun.
Yeah. I mean, he probably fits in a cannon, so...
I was going to say, I think Isaiah Thomas, very easy to just throw out of the building. He's, compact... just carrying size.
Oh my god, I'm gonna be really angry at myself because I'm gonna forget. Oh, DJ Jazzy Jeff,
clip. The old Fresh Prince meme where he just throws him out of the house. That's gonna be the Lakers if Isaiah Thomas says hey, I want to start over Lonzo Ball. They're like, okay, enjoy outside.
We're gonna end it there. That's a great line to end it on. All right, enjoy outside. They'll make sure it's raining. All right. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. This right here was fun. I want more of this. Now, that isn't to say...
Sports Illustrated cover, this is going to be fun.
No, this was fun. I'm not going to go so far as to do that. But
let's reshoot that cover with Lonzo Ball and Paul George in a Lakers jersey just to just bring the tampering fine full circle.
I wanted to say though that the point I was going to make when I was saying that this show was fun to record and I want more of this, that isn't to say that if something happens I'm not going to criticize it. It's our job. We are supposed to analyze this stuff.
Anthony's going to throw a temper tantrum on Monday about something, I promise you guys. Be ready.
Yeah, there were some people already throwing a tantrum with that Luol Deng audio, right? I thought that was kind of extreme. I thought it was really funny.
Oh, but, really? Yeah, that was hilarious.
Right, but if for those of you out there who think that I have some kind of axe to grind against Magic, I do not, man. As I said all show today, I'm legitimately rooting for this guy to work. I don't think his hiring, the process that went into hiring him was particularly great, but I hope that it works out because at the end of the day, I have been a Laker fan since as long as I can remember. And that stuff that I said earlier, that wasn't BS. That was me. I can't lie. I had to kind of fight through some emotions while I was talking about Magic coming back from all he's come through as a member of the Lakers organization, as a member of the Los Angeles community, as a human freaking being, and he seems like a legitimately great human being.
I think Magic is very much a good person.
Yes, and so I am pulling for him 100%. But that doesn't mean, though, that I am going to turn a blind eye anytime I see something that I don't necessarily agree with. And
that's hashtag press on.
That's where that's where Harrison is going to step in every so often and say, "Anthony, you're being a jackass. You got to calm down a little bit."
Literally, my job on this show.
It's actually in his contract. It's
yep.
So there's a line in there. All right. Enjoy your weekends, everybody. Enjoy this feeling. Take it in. Listen to as much Laker content as you possibly can today.
Inject it into your veins.
Starting with the show, and maybe download the show a couple times over.
And then download it to your family's phones.
Yeah, and show it to everybody. But enjoy this feeling. It's been a long time since we had it. We hope that it continues. Way to go, Lakers. You smoked the Oklahoma City Thunder and Royce Young's salty ass. Have a great weekend, everybody.